Good evening, everybody. And welcome to our carol service this evening. You're very welcome to be with us tonight. You should have a candle with a plate around it. Hopefully, yep, we're going to be lighting those in a little while. But being very aware of the fact that they might drip hot wax around, we won't have them lit for too long in the service. But it's a nice thing to have, you know, to be proper candles by candlelight. There are lots of candles around. Thank you to everybody who came and lit candles earlier. That's great. Now, we have a number of readings from different people. If you're doing a reading, if you come up round to the end of the platform and avoid the candles, that's always a bonus. I haven't got the fire extinguisher up here with me this evening, so hopefully that'll be okay. But we're here to celebrate, to start off Christmas week by listening to some familiar readings to many of us and singing some carols together and just pausing for a moment or two and thinking about that first Christmas as we come together and enjoy the busyness and all the celebrations, the festivities of Christmas, just to pause for a few moments and think about that first Christmas all those years ago. So let's pray as we start our time together, and then we'll launch into all sorts of different things. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for the opportunity to meet this evening. Lord, we thank you that as we're able to gather to sing carols that some of us have known for years, to others they're more modern, more new in our memories. Lord, we thank you that the words still mean something, that they talk about your Son coming down to earth to be among us. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that that's because of that reason we can celebrate Christmas at all. So Lord, we pray that you'll bless our time together this evening. And Lord, that we would enjoy singing, talking, listening, and enjoy food and drinks together afterwards. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Right, we're going to watch a video clip next. Thanks, Josh.
Let me tell you about my favourite story. It's alright, don't worry, it's not gory. It's the first Christmas story, and not to be clever, but it's about this one chord which ties everything together. Not the chord to the fairy light on the Christmas tree. This story starts at night, so picture the scene. A few blokes on a hill, tending to their flock, run-of-the-mill stuff, you know, till they get quite a shock. You see, this angel turns up and shines in glory. It's true.
It's a true story.
Whoa, says the angel, it's all right, no danger. Just thought I'd let you know of this baby in a manger. Do you good to go visit if you're able. This one's special, you'll find him in a stable. A king, if you can, go see him. Then, a moment they'll treasure throughout the days when a whole host of angels sent up their praise and in accord, the guys agreed, yeah, count us in, indeed.
Cut new scene, more blokes, not shepherds, but intellectual sorts of guys with telescopes out studying the skies. They spot this particular star in the night. And so the guys follow the star in the sky in the night. Months later, they arrive to see the birth of the Son of the Most High.
Born as royalty king, destined to be more than a baron or a sir. And so they brought him three gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. So humbled to witness this significant scene, the wise men, they knelt onto a knee, so tender, so mild, they all thought it, born in Bethlehem, according to the prophet. Now, flip back to the beginning, we meet a guy called Joe, engaged, due to tie the knot with this Mary girl, but now he's not so sure. She's pregnant, not his. Why didn't she come clean? But then this angel turns up in his dream. Don't panic, says the angel. Things aren't what they seem. The big guy wants you on the parenting team. You see, God's only son is living inside Mary. He's gonna be born and he's gonna save many. What the angel said, it struck a chord, it went in. And Joe strived to obey God from there on in.
Now skip past the guys with their flock, you know, the ones in shock. Skip past the guys searching the skies and we're back in the stable.
They cut his umbilical cord, nature's cable, all in all. A chord of worship to little guy in the cradle. And this little guy, so vulnerable and so weak,
but destined to be king, and they shall bow at his feet. You see, we sing carols with instrumental chords, but guess what? It's got nothing to do with jolly old claws. We sing to celebrate only one thing, this one moment in history which changed everything. And when we remember this little guy, we remember he is son of the Most High, in a crib with straw in his face, yet God's trump card against the sin of a broken race. This is a story all about a cord, about a little guy who was king, and our sin he bore. You see, the cord which makes Christmas is Jesus, Lord.
So let's stand and sing our first carol, O Come All You Faithful. Seated. Now I have two volunteers who did promise me before the start of the service they were going to come and help me. They seem to have disappeared though. Ah, they're hiding down there. Yerikov, come on. I've got a very special job. Zoom, come around the end over here. That's it. Just mind your steps up. One, two, very good. Okay, right, now then. We need to ask your dad to put us a slide up on the screen. Josh, there should be a slide there. Thank you. For lighting the advent candle. There was before. You got one? Ah, there we go. Excellent. Right. Now, so there's a bit of interactive stuff going on here. So what I need you all to do is to join in with the prayer, which is in the big words, the larger print. So today is our fourth Sunday in Advent, And today we're going to light the candle in just one moment, guys, okay, to remember the love of the first arrival of Jesus and the love that he brought with him when he came to earth that first Christmas. So, if I light this bit, are you going to give me a hand, both of you? Do you want to hold on to that? Can you give it a hand? You can hold on to it as well. That's it. There you go. And you've got to light this one for me just here. A bit further down. That's it. Is it lit? It's lit. Right, now hold this away and you're going to blow it out for me. Wow, good blowing. Thank you very much. That deserves a round of applause. Excellent. Thank you, ladies. You can go and sit down again. Thank you. Brilliant. Right. So, as we're celebrating the fourth Sunday in Advent, let's pray together, shall we? If you read the words on the screen with me. Lord Jesus, may the light of your love always shine in our hearts. As Christmas draws closer, we marvel at your great love for us. Let your love transform every aspect of our lives and touch everyone we encounter. Open our hearts to receive your love, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Right, we're going to stand again and sing again. So, Once in Royal David City. Seated just for a moment, excuse me. Now then, I hope I've got a couple of fairly sensible people who can volunteer for me. Mark's one of them, so I did say fairly sensible. Okay. If you want to bring your candle up, Mark, David, have you got a candle with you? Can you come and light your candle? And then what we're going to do is try and light everybody else's candles. So if we light one at the end of each row, you can pass the light along to each other. That would be great. Thank you very much. Right, go for it. Just try not to burn yourselves down or anybody else. That's the thing. Very good. Good lighting ones. If you haven't got the candle, now is the time to go and grab yourself one. There's still some in the entrance way, I think. How are we getting on? Got many more to do? Oh, we've got a big gap over this side. Ah. Great idea, thank you. Okay, we all lit up. Yeah, very carefully hold your candles up a little bit. There you go, that's great. It's a good picture from the front of the church anyway. Fantastic. Great stuff. Right. Ryan, you don't need to bring your candle with you, but you're going to come and give us our first reading, if that's all right. Thank you. It's on the lectern, mate.
Thank you.
No problem.
Evening, everyone.
Good evening.
So I'll be reading Isaiah 9, 2, 6, and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. Thank you very much. Excellent. We're going to stand and sing again together. O little town of Bethlehem.
Thank you.
seated, and Jane is going to come and bring us our next reading.
This reading comes from Luke 1, 24 to 38. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month.
Thank you, Jane. We're going to stand and sing again. Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Oh.
be seated, and Cully's going to come and bring us our next reading. Thank you, Cully.
I said this reading's from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Thank you, Cully. Now comes the difficult bit. If you've got a candle, I want you to gently blow it out, please. That's it. No spraying wax over everybody else. Very good. One or two of you need a bit more puff. Okay, are they all out? If they're still smoking, just leave them for a moment or two. They need to cool down. Then you can put them on the ground if you want to. Right. We are going to watch another video clip now. Thank you.
A long time ago, before Christmas began, God's people were waiting for God's special plan. And they'd wondered for years how this plan would unfurl, till an angel appeared to a young teenage girl. Though Mary was troubled, the angel proclaimed, "You found favour with God. Do not be afraid. You will conceive and give birth to a son. Call his name Jesus. The King has now come." "I am the Lord's servant," she said in belief. But when Joseph found out, he was filled up with grief. For Mary and Joseph had not yet got married. What would people think of this baby she carried? An angel of God came to him in a dream and helped Joseph see it was not as it seemed. It was God's Holy Spirit that brought life within. This baby had come to save people from sin. So Joseph and Mary and baby-to-be set off to Bethlehem, as was decreed. But when they arrived, there was nowhere to stay. No more rooms to be found for this babe on the way. And then soon the time came. She gave birth to a son. The long-promised king had now finally come. And they weren't in a palace, all cosy and warm. Where the animals feed was where this king was born. And while crowds in the town were all still fast asleep, there were shepherds nearby, watching over their sheep. Until something disrupted the darkness of night, an angel appeared and the sky filled with light. The glory of God all around them displayed, the angel declaring, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy. The Saviour is born as a baby, a boy." The shepherds saw angels sing glory and peace, and they said to each other, "Now let's go and see." They hurried to find this great king of the Jews. Then in awe and amazement, they spread the good news. Now far in the east, men most clever and wise had seen a strange star that was starting to rise. They knew that a king was the cause of this star, so they set off to find him and followed it far, till it stopped at the place where the boy would be found. And in wonder and worship, they humbly bowed down. They opened their treasures. And what did they bring? But frankincense, gold, and myrrh for a king. A king who was little. A king who could cry. Who was fragile and feeble and one day would die. The powerful king who'd been promised for years, who would share in our suffering and take up our tears. For though he was rich, God chose to be poor. He made himself nothing so we could be sure that God is now with us. The king has come near. Good news for all people. Jesus is here.
Thank you. Chris is going to come and bring us our next reading. Thanks, Chris.
Carrying on Luke chapter 2. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
I think it's only right after that that we sing, "Well, shepherds watched their flocks by night."
While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. "Fear not," said he, "for mighty dread had seized their troubled mind. Tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind. To you in David's town this day is born of David's line, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be the sign. The heavenly babe you there shall find, to human view displayed, or really wrapped in swaddling clothes and in a manger laid." Thus spake the seraph, and forth it appeared a shining throng, all angels praising God, and thus they heard their joyful song.
Please be seated. And Val is going to come and bring us our next reading.
This reading is from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "Oh, in Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you, Val. Let's stand and sing again, shall we? Silent Night.
Virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Thank you.
Please be seated. Adnan was going to read our next reading to us, but Shazia heard this afternoon that her brother passed away today, so they're at home trying to get in touch with their family at the moment. So I'll read our final reading to us, which is John 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That passage from John is very much one of those ones where people sit there and scratch their heads for a bit and try and work out what actually it's saying. But it's very much part of the Christmas story that we see and we hear so regularly. I wonder if you cast your mind back to your childhood. Now, for some of us, that's a bit longer ago than it is for others. If you cast your mind back to your childhood, can you picture your favourite toy? That thing that you used to play with a lot. It might have been Lego, like we had on the video clip there, the Lego Nativity. I always loved my Lego because you could imagine all sorts of different adventures your little Lego characters could get up to as you built them different amazing contraptions. Then, of course, my brother or sister would come and break them up and we'd do something different with them. But if you have a toy in your mind, I wonder, did you do things with that toy? Did you explore bits of your house? Did you explore your garden if you had a garden? Did you use your imagination to put that toy into different places? It may be if you're slightly younger, you still have toys that you're used to. If you're slightly older, you might have larger toys that you use for different things instead. But they're great. Toys are fantastic. If you remember back, you can do the impossible with a toy. Anything is possible. Although, I remember with one of my action men, my sister threw it out my bedroom window and it ended up with his arm on one side of the garden and the rest of him on the other. I was a bit sad that he couldn't actually fly. But in our imagination, we can pick up all sorts of adventures for our toys to get up to. And I wonder sometimes as we get older and we put our toys into the back of the wardrobe, or we take them to the second-hand shop, or we even take them to the tip if they've broken down after too much use, do we forget about our imagination? Do we suspend it and become involved in life? It takes over everything and our minds close down to a little bit to what can be outside of what we experience day by day. That chapter in that verse, those verses in John 1 are very much outside of our normal. They're not like the other chapter, the other verses that we've read, which sort of tell a story. They're a bit more abstract. They're talking about light and life and before the world began. And they're concepts which, if you want to explore them, your mind has to work a bit harder than thinking about Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem, Mary riding a donkey and having baby Jesus in a stable. We can sort of envisage that because we've seen so many different things where it comes to pass. But I wonder, there's a what if here. What if, actually, we don't need to use our imaginations? We need to think and to have a little bit of faith. That what we've heard this evening, all those different passages, that passage in John 1 that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us could actually be true? What if it's actually true? What if life is so totally different because of that first Christmas? I wonder if you think about not having Christmas. There's only one or two countries in the world where nobody celebrates Christmas. And that's only because they'd be persecuted or killed if they did celebrate Christmas. But almost everywhere around the world, even in Saudi Arabia, you can find a Christmas tree and people will celebrate Christmas. It's not imagination. It's having a little bit of faith that what the Bible says is actually true. And if you believe that little bit, that this baby was born 2,000 or so years ago in a stable in Bethlehem, and his parents had gone there to write their names down on the census, which was only there for taxation. Nothing ever changes, does it? They're still taxing people 2,000 years ago, just as they tax us today. The people went because they had to go. They didn't have much of a choice in the matter. If you could believe that's true, then does it follow on that you can believe the rest of it's true as well? Do we have that little bit of faith to believe that actually there's a God who wants to communicate with us, and so he sends his son down to earth to talk to us about God's love? Because if you don't believe that, what are you doing celebrating Christmas? Because that is what Christmas is all about. It's all about Jesus coming to earth as a baby, as a normal person as he could be. And the mind-blowing bit is that he's still God. He's this tiny little baby that squawks and makes a mess and pukes up his milk and all the rest of it, but he's also God. And as he grows up, he does all the things that children do, probably got told off every now and then. He probably ran around with his friends, fell over and skinned his knee, but he was still God. And when we read about him later on in the Gospels, where he starts talking and starts sharing and starts calling his disciples to him, you see an ordinary man. We're told in the Old Testament he was nothing much to look at. If you watch TV and you see one of these TV series about Jesus, he's quite often portrayed as somebody with blonde hair and blue eyes. He wasn't like that. If you watch The Chosen, that's more realistic. He's a Middle Eastern sort of type looking guy with dark hair and brown eyes. But he wasn't much to look at, and that wasn't the point. God didn't send somebody down who was going to look like Hercules and have a fantastic model-like face that everybody's going to flock to him because he's so gorgeous to look at. He sent somebody down who looked like, dare I say it, you or me. Normal people. But he wasn't just a normal person. He was and is the Son of God. I wonder if you and you're thinking and you're wondering and you're saying, well, what if it could be true? I'd like to say, well, why don't you try it? Why don't you try it and see in your own mind if it is true? What have you got to lose? If you try things out, you might say, I'm not really quite sure about that. Or, yeah, I can see where that's going. There's some logic in this, and there is very much logic in the Bible as well. But if you throw away the Christmas story, you throw away the Nativity, you throw away Jesus, you throw away God, then are you missing out on something? Well, as a church pastor, I would say, of course you are. That's my job to say that. But it's also what I believe, is what I've believed for a very long time. And it's something that's really important. It's central to my life and central to the life of many of you, I'm sure. That the love that God shows us when he comes down in the form of Jesus at Christmas time is a love that continues on to today. It's what drives so many of us in how we live our lives, in why we come to church on a Sunday morning to worship, on why we behave the way we behave to our other halves or our parents or our children or our work colleagues, because there's something inside us that's different. And that little bit of faith, that little what if, and then opening your heart to hear and to learn and to love back can make such a difference. If God loved us enough to be born as a baby, what if it's true? What if that hope of a future with him is really true? I'll leave you with that question this Christmas time. Just pause for a minute in between the turkey and your Christmas pudding or whatever you're going to be eating, and just think for a moment And if you already know that this is true, just give thanks for all that God has done for each one of us. But if you're thinking, and you're thinking, what if? And if you want to talk to me again afterwards, then you're very welcome to do so. But if you're thinking, what if? Why don't you just ask God and say, okay, if you're true, tell me something. Talk to me. Let me open myself up for you to come and be part of my life. And then see what happens. And I'll guarantee you it won't be nothing. Let's pray together, shall we? Loving God, we thank you that you gave your son Jesus as a gift for us. A gift that means we're able to connect with you. We're able to be a part of your family. Lord, we thank you for Christmas when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Will you come and bring us your gift of hope at this time? To replace that what if with a yes, I understand. Lord Jesus, we pray you come into our lives this Christmas. Refresh us, refill us, and give us only that hope that only you can bring. Amen. Before we sing our final hymn, and you'll be pleased to know there's a mountain of mince pies to be eaten and some tea and coffee and other drinks as well out the back. Well, we're having it in just a minute. Before we do that, I have one notice to share with you, and then we're going to take an offering. If you've come prepared, that's brilliant. If you haven't, don't worry about it. Let the bags pass you by. The notice is on Christmas Day, if you're up by 10 o'clock and want to come out, we'll be having a short service here. It's a family time together where if you've got a present that you'd like to show everybody else, if you're wearing something especially, that'd be great to come and see everybody. If you're wearing something you don't want to show everybody else, that's absolutely fine. But if you want to come and share and celebrate Christmas Day together, 10 o'clock in here, about 45 minutes or so, and then we'll let you go and you can go and get your Christmas lunches underway and enjoy the rest of Christmas Day. So let's take the offering if we can do. Thank you. If the guys, you'd like to come down. Come on. Thank you. And let's pray before we sing, shall we? Father God, we thank you for all that you give us. As we celebrate the gift of your son to us at Christmas time, Lord, we're also very aware that all that we have comes from you, the creator of our world. And so, Lord, we thank you and praise you. We're able to give you back a little bit of what you first give to us. And pray that you'd use this to your glory and to further your kingdom. Amen. So, hark the herald angels sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, O ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies, with the angelic host proclaim, rejoice to his born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, and I behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Senses man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven, Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Life and life to all he brings, thrilled with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born than man no more.